You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Back to Nashville. We're live here for a couple more hours. Already today, Tennessee has been upset by Mississippi State. Tennessee was the number one seed, hoping to get a number one seed. And speaking of the Vols, Chris Lofton, one of the absolute greatest Tennessee players ever, joining us, being honored among the Legends class. Chris, we'll get to the Tennessee game in a minute, but congratulations. I know it's been a fun to come back and see a lot of people that are being honored as well, and also that you've had a chance to get a chance to meet all over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's been fun being here, you know, these last couple of days, and to be around Tennessee fans and, you know, just SEC. You know, I feel like this is the best conference in the country, and, you know, the fans are passionate, and it's just an exciting time.
Chris, you played for Bruce Pearl there in really an amazing era of basketball at Tennessee that and made it 1 year. Tennessee made it to the Elite Eight under eight. Under Bruce, you were part of a mammoth win, many mammoth wins. When you run into ball fans now, it's pretty hard to avoid them today. Well, what's it like? I mean, it's been a while, but it's still not that long ago.
It's special. They all, you know, embrace me, tell me how much I meant to the program, and they still remember me. You know, I played 16 years ago, and you know, they still act like I played just, you know, like I'm still on the team. It's just a...
Well, you look like you're still on the team.
It's just, you know, a different feeling for Tennessee. And just, you know, I've always bled orange, always will. And just our fan base is so special.
And I think that's interesting. I mean, it's this, what we're about to say is nothing new to Tennessee fans. But I went to that school and I saw a fan base that I think is dramatically underrated. I mean, Tennessee is a big-time basketball school. I mean, you played on during one of the best eras a couple of years ago. I remember talking to Grant Williams about his team, arguing, is this the best team? Is it the one you were on? Was it the one in the 80s? Or was it the one in the late 70s? I mean, they have had a lot of eras.
Absolutely. We've had some great basketball teams through the years, and, you know, the fan base stays the same. They come out and support us, and, you know, they take care of their own, and, you know, it's always special when I go back to Knoxville. People still come up to me and, you know, just, you know, thank me for, you know, what I did for the program.
Chris, you were part of, as I remember, one of the more bizarre incidents ever during the NCAA tournament. You tested positive or something. It turned out that you were sick. I mean, mm-hmm. you had a serious issue with testicular cancer. I mean, how bizarre was that to experience? I mean, forget, I don't know. I don't know how to say this about the cancer diagnosis, but I mean to be subjected to so much.
Yeah, it was difficult. It was, you know, like you said, very bizarre. That's a great word for it. Just something you never see coming. But you know, at the end of the day, it's all a part of God's plan, and you know, He meant it for the good. And you know, right now, if I can.
How did it get to the point? Had you been diagnosed yet, or was that the beginning of it when that test happened?
No, they didn't find out till afterwards.
Okay.
They just knew I failed a drug test, but they didn't know the reason why.
How long did it take to rectify that?
I feel like it was like a few days. We got back from San Antonio, Texas, and we got back to Knoxville and went to different doctors.
It was a random test.
Yeah, random. I got picked randomly. And it was a random test, and it was...
How difficult is it to explain that you weren't guilty of something?
Right, that's what we were trying to figure out. You were trying to figure out how I was taking extra shakes, and you know, it was either that or I was pregnant. So I was like, I don't think.
So I mean, this is a tricky question. I mean, it was good news. There was a reason for your positive test, but the bad news was you had a serious situation.
Absolutely. You know, it was tough, but the best part is they found it early, so I'm cancer-free now, and it's all good, so it was a blessing.
Wow. I mean, what, I that does not take, I mean, the fact that you were one of the greatest players ever is I'm not saying that that's beside the point, but I mean, this is an incident that people still wonder about and talk about and use as examples. Let me get to the current situation, because ball fans are pretty down right now. Watching today, I mean, pretty, I don't think it's as hard to diagnose. I mean, bad shooting will get the best of teams, which Tennessee has won.
Absolutely. It was just one of those games. You know, nothing was falling for us. You know, Mississippi State, you know, played yesterday, so they got a feel for the arena, and, you know, they had a little advantage, but, you know, no excuses. Mississippi State, you know, deserved the win. They played great. We didn't, and that's why we're going home, but we still got the NCAA tournament to get ready for and get some rest and, you know, get back to the practice.
Chris, as somebody who made three-pointers in your sleep, I'm really interested, because you can have a bad day, but when you know it quickly too, don't you? When all of a sudden what you do 40% of the 50% of the time, I mean, how do players react to that? And it really never got much better today.
It didn't. It was just from the start, it was bad. It didn't change. Like I said, it's just one of those games. But, you know, still during the game, you have to have short memory in this game and still take your shots and just go with it and just learn.
But it does happen sometimes. I mean, like we saw it Saturday. Tennessee got way behind. They came back. I realize, you know, you're a player in the mind. Can you know you do? What do you do different? Can you? Is it just like you block everything out? How do you overcome a cold night?
You try to get some easy buckets, get to the free throw line, get some layups, you know, try to see the ball go in the basket. You know, that's what I tried to do.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes it's just not your night.
Did you ever have one of those type of days like that?
I had a few of them.
By the way, I don't remember any of those.
We all have. You know, it's just one of those games. You just got to, you know, like right now, we got to forget about it, learn from it, and get ready. Now the big tournament.
I mean, shooting is shooting. It's a mindset. I mean, you can't just start dribbling. Going, okay. I mean, it's just you do it. You've done it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. When, in terms of three pointers, I mean, you were one of the best we've ever seen. What is there any? Is it just simply, you know, is it practice? Is it knowing? Is it a spot? Yeah. What is it?
I think it's practice. I think you. The results you get come from the work you put in. You
right.
know, it's not. I don't think it's that hard. You know, the work ethic. That's what I feel like. I separated myself. I lived in the gym. I worked on it. I shot a lot and just tried to, you know, be great at what I did.
Did you while you were practicing, especially at home? I mean, are you looking at certain spots that you go to boom or is it? I mean, I realize you. You got a guy all over you, but that's beside the point. When you're a good shooter, what are you thinking about as you're kind of maneuvering through the landscape on the court?
Just you know, I used to look at how my shots came from the game. I try to practice game shots. You know different plays, what I would be shooting
from. You
get
the chart. You know everybody knows where you're shooting from.
Exactly. So I worked on that a lot. You know, with my assistant coaches, you know, they did a great job of taking me through drills and situations where I was prepared for the moment.
Amazing. What a career. You live in Kentucky now. That's got to be weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but, you know, I grew up, I'm a Kentucky boy, so, you know, my family's close by, so I still stay there, but I still rip my Vols everywhere, though.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we know it's a rivalry, but I mean, Kentucky Tennessee is, I think, is one of the most unique basketball rivalries. I mean, there is no. It's a cliche, but I mean, there's no love lost.
Absolutely, you know, it's, you know, they're a great program.
After a game like last Saturday, do you kind of not wear the orange?
I wear orange every day.
Okay,
I don't care. Win, lose, I bleed orange.
Ball for life.
Absolutely.
One of the all-timers, Chris Lofton. Pleasure to see you. Congratulations on being a legend.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Great to see you. We'll take a short break. Another Vol will be here in a minute. More to come as we work our way through day three of the SEC men's basketball tournament.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So one game down, and that was the upset of the tournament so far. Tennessee losing badly to Mississippi State, 73-56. The game was over 20 at one point, and Auburn right now comfortably over South Carolina. Gordon Whitener has been with us before, but I'm going to reintroduce him to our audience because the resume is long. Came in contact with Gordon a couple years ago in Knoxville, and he is I don't think there's an easy way to describe what you do. You're a very incredibly successful businessman. You certainly are in the sports world, but we'll get to that in a second. But you were a coach and a pretty good one at one point.
I'm not sure about any of that.
I remember you as a coach.
On the good part.
But let's stay with that for a second.
You know, it was a long time ago. It was from in the mid-'80s, 85, 87, left in 88. It was at Oklahoma State. My first job was coaching the receivers with Houston Nutt. we had a guy named Hartley Dykes who made us look like pretty good coaches.
He wasn't bad.
And then I got a break, and at 22 I became the recruiting coordinator for football and then all sports at Oklahoma State, and just a fantastic experience, and then went into the business world shortly there.
Yeah, I mean, saying that you just went into the business world a little bit of an understatement. I mean, you've done some amazing things from business to entertainment to movies. I mean, you produced a movie with Burt Reynolds. You've done a lot, probably more profitable things, but I'm not sure how much
it's
more entertaining.
It's a severe case of ADD, apparently. I can't keep focused on anything. So my wife would certainly say that. So,
and somebody who is truly at the vanguard of where college sports is right now through your business contacts, your friends. There's not much that you don't know. And I can attest to that, because when I need to know something, I'm screaming for Gordon. Gordon, let's talk about where college sports is right now, because we had the commissioner on a few minutes ago. Everybody has serious concerns, but you've lived it as a coach, as a businessman. Where are we?
I mean, we're in a tough spot, but it's anytime you have that, I think it's opportunity. There's a tremendous amount of opportunity. I'd say college football in particular has never been more popular. But as everybody knows, unless you've been under a rock, we've got some really systemic issues that have to be dealt with in a hurry. And I mean, like, immediately, or this thing could go the other way in a hurry.
And I want to ask you what that means, because every commissioner I've talked to, every college president, they all talk about the issues facing us, the legal juggernaut. What could, I hate to be Armageddon here or doomsday, but what could happen?
Well, I think the worst issue, because I see it from the business standpoint, is there's not enough money to go around. That's the, you know, I'm certainly concerned, and I think all the conferences are, about minor sports. I'm certainly concerned the effect that all of this has on women's sports. All the things that are really starting to get their groove on,
right?
College baseball. I mean, things that are so important could get swamped by this sort of, what you say, Armageddon. And it's really around the revenue side of things is where the big issue is, because there's only enough money to go around, and so let's just face it, there are several important revenue streams for college sports. Obviously, you know, tickets and those kind of things that are, you know, but, you know, ad dollars and big companies spending more money in sports are critical, and there's only so much to go around. So, you know, when you see, you know, somebody like ESPN do a huge deal for a rights fee, somebody's got to pay for that, you know, so and advertisers have to pay for that. And to the extent, you know, used to be subscribers paid for that, you know, through the carriage fees from a Comcast or a DirecTV or whatever. But as that has started to go down, now it's, you know, shifting to streaming. So we're in a real, turbulent spot.
But it's interesting. It seems, I'll be naive for a second. You look at NFL, you look at NBA, you look at this platform, there's massive amounts of money, billions of dollars, and it looks like everyone is just cashing in, coaching, you know that side of it well.
I do.
So there's no dummy's guide to explain this, but give it a shot in terms of what could happen. And you mentioned the other sports. I'll ask a naive question. Why would successful sports get aced out of all this?
Because of the rising cost of college football. And
because all the money is going into football.
Yeah, and football earns all the money as well.
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't think it's any secret, certainly not to your loyal listeners, that college football really supports every other sport, including for the most part college basketball.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, there's a handful of college basketball programs and a few of them here that can stand on their own. But the reality is college football drives college sports, period, end of subject. So now, you know, with players wanting a share and earning a share, now you start to, you know, the dollars that can be spread around for other things just aren't there.
Okay, you hit something I'm really interested in, because every time I'm on a campus, I hear, well, we were working on a new basketball arena, now we're not. This money is all going into football, it's all going into collectives, it's all going into supporting the system which feeds the beast. So what's happening to everything else? Is that where we are?
For the most part, that's the issue.
Okay.
So put yourself in, you're a donor at XYZ University. You know, you have, you know, athletic gifts coming at you. You might have the university coming at you for, you know, if you were in the business school. And then, oh, by the way, you donate to athletics. And then now you've got this new entity that says, hey, we need some money out of you because we need this quarterback over here really badly. And so at some point there is a, you know, people are tapped out.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll try not to give away too much, but to say that Gordon is he lives in Knoxville, that you're plugged in with the guys that run and whose names are on buildings on that school would be the understatement of the year. I've walked around your offices, and I know who's across the hall. The question is, though, those guys can only do, every school has a name, and we know who they are, but there's only so much they can do, is there? Because, and where?
Yeah, I mean, because this thing, you know, when the Supreme Court ruling came out, it just opened the floodgates for everything. It got wild and woolly. Now, the last time you and I spoke about this, you know, I placed the blame, and I still place the blame, at the NCAA's feet. They've ignored this issue for 40 years of player compensation. You know, back when I was at Oklahoma State, it didn't take a genius to figure out that, you know, we were recruiting kids from, you know, inner city Dallas or New Orleans or wherever, and you bring them to a college campus, and immediately you've got overzealous alumni. I mean, this has been a powder keg for a long time. The NCAA, for whatever reason, decided forever and ever and ever that this is an amateur game and, you know, no money to anybody. So, you, as you know, you had cheating, you had NIL way before NIL. But now, you know, with this Supreme Court ruling, it opened the floodgates so that anybody can play. And so we're here, and you've heard Coach Saban. You're, you know, close with him, and you probably know him as well as anybody. He's on Fox News last night. I mean, that's a guy. I mean, there need to be some really great people at the table right now solving these issues, and that's a guy that needs to be there amongst these conference commissioners.
But, okay, so what Nick Saban said, what I've seen all the commissioners pretty much say the same thing.
Yeah.
But then you start trickling it down, though, Gordon, and there is this disconnect. And if Congress doesn't bail them out, and there is a million reasons why they're not going to right now.
I'm not a fan of Congress bailing them out. I'd prefer Congress.
But is there any other way?
I do. I think there is. I have enough faith in, you know, as you've said, I've been in this industry a long time. I worked with a lot of these, you know, really smart and great people. But I think there needs to be a bigger sense of urgency. And no offense, but do we really need to be worrying about going from 12 to 14 teams in the college football playoff, or do we need to solve this problem?
I mean, we are going to 14.
Yeah, but I mean, do we need to take the time, or do we need, you know, Greg Sankey, who's a, you know, a stud? Do we need him leading a group of these commissioners and bringing in what I think are other?
But the problem, though, is, I mean, and Sankey was with us a minute ago. I mean, he's spending an enormous amount of time on the CFP.
Yep.
He's on other issues. He was trying to redo the NCAA laws, which frankly don't matter anymore. In addition to running his own league, I think that's really the issue. The smartest people are multitasking as they are, because, I mean, the NCAA, and he's a perfectly good guy, and I'm speaking of Charlie Baker, but he's got no more chance of solving these problems right now than anybody, because the power is with Sankey.
And no doubt.
Is with Petitti.
Yeah. So it's not his fault. He wasn't around. He didn't create this mess.
I mean, I heard him last summer in Washington. I was in shock listening. Here's the president of the NCAA blaming the NCAA for the problems they're in. But it sounded great. It was a good soundbite. But, I mean, I almost think it's too late, Gordon.
I don't know, Paul. I mean, I'm a glass half full guy always, and so that's...
I appreciate that.
You know, I think that really there are, you know, I know...
If I said to you...
I know enough people that... You know... Go ahead.
Gordon, solve the problem for me today. How do you do it?
Well, certainly I wouldn't do it myself. You know, there are too many smart people. I would immediately convene what I think are 10 to 12, because I don't think it can be bigger than that, of the smartest people. And I'd include, you know, your employer. I'd include ESPN, people that really, you know, have a stake, you know, at this, and people that are spending money. I'd bring in maybe a couple of really smart brand people that are spending money in for college sports, and I'd say, hey, here's what we're all facing. How do we work together? I mean, this is what I wish, you know, the Congress of the United States would do too, but this can be done at this level. There are enough people that want this to succeed.
But didn't I read, and there was one of these people you know really well, I read today or yesterday, that there's a group of people who are trying to solve this, but they said that the people that matter aren't listening to them or won't meet with them or something like that.
Yeah, and I all I can say is that's a mistake.
You know what
I'm
talking about.
I do, and I think it's a mistake, and I think that you know, time is of the essence, as I've said.
I mean, we're
in a good time right now. The basketball tournament's about to be done, and
but if I'm talking to you this summer, and we're still having the same conversation,
it's a mistake. This spring
it's
is
late.
This spring
it would be
the,
late then.
This spring is the opportune time for really smart people to get together and say, here's the future. Because in your business, you know, we've got another macro issue, which we talked about yesterday, and that is, you know, how are people 5 years from now going to consume sports or television or anything?
Right.
You know, how are they going to consume content? Today we've got a mixture of, you know, you're seeing this, you know, these games on ESPN, and
right,
but you also are seeing other games on online being streamed. You see the, you know, and it's, you know.
Well, let's do this. let's reconvene soon, because I think I'm not trying to abuse our platform here, but why not abuse it, since this is urgent, and let's not
waste it. It's urgent, and I appreciate the time you give to it, because it's important to a lot of people. It's a lot of people's livelihoods, and I'd like my grandkids to have, you know, some kind of inheritance.
Gordon Widener, we will do this again soon, because this is not something. So we'll catch you football season.
Yeah, love to.
Not a good idea. We'll catch you before that.
Let's do baseball season. Yeah.
Gordon, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll talk about it with another person in a minute who is on the front line of NIL in recruiting. We'll be right back. We're live in Nashville.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here at the SEC men's basketball tournament. Games going on as we speak. We'll give you an update a little while on what's happened already. Tennessee has lost today, 73-56. Right now, Auburn has a 15-point lead over the Gamecocks as the first half is coming to an end. We're talking to the coach here, Carl Reed, joining us. Carl, we've talked to you so many times. It's great to finally connect in person.
Oh, yeah, for sure, Paul. I appreciate you having me out here. Great tournament going on right now in the SEC.
It is, but let's get to what you're up to right now. This is a big evaluation time. There's a lot of activity. So, what in the college football space that you specialize in? Obviously, your former coach. What is happening
right now? You're going through spring practice, and you're also about to go through spring recruiting for the high school guys. Okay. And so, as coaches are going through spring, Paul, you're going to see some transfers again when the portal opens back up on April 15th. You're going to also see official visits start to take place with some of the best high school prospects in the class of 25. So you're about to see a lot of action in terms of roster movement and roster building.
And it's interesting because that window is open, that transfer window is open for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it'll be open from April 15th through the end of May.
Now, what is so significant about this one? Before I even let you answer, it seems like this is more of the, okay, I'm not going to make it here. Let me get out of here. We saw that last year with a lot of quarterbacks. Is there much out there? I mean, it's hard to predict, but I mean, what do you hear?
It won't be as big as it was in the fall, because if you're not at spring practice, it's going to be really hard for you to earn a roster spot. But you are going to see a couple of moves of teams that say, hey, I really need a left tackle. I really need an edge guy. Our quarterback just won't get it done. This is a period where you might see some guys in the Division II and the FCS ranks get the opportunity to move up, because guys are going to be searching for players that have to fill their roster.
And I know you know a lot. I'm not asking you to reveal, because I mean, a lot of this stuff is proprietary. But can somebody go from that level and make a significant difference at the upper echelon.
You absolutely can. Look at two guys that we've talked about all year. Tailback Cody Schrader from the University of Missouri, a guy who was a Division II guy and walked on at the University of Missouri. Jared Verse, a guy I talked about on my show yesterday, defensive end out of Florida State who came up from Division FCS, University of Albany. So there are guys that you're going to find at that level that can make a significant contribution.
And by the way, we're seeing it in basketball with Kinnick from Tennessee. I'm curious on Schrader because, I mean, he was one of the truly remarkable players in college football this year. How do people miss players like that? Or do they just develop later? What is it?
I coached against Cody in high school. He was a phenomenal player. Didn't have the measurables. 40 was around a 4.8. He was a shorter guy, but he was highly productive. A lot of guys missed out on him, and so he had to go prove himself.
Okay.
But he has a tremendous amount of heart, a tremendous amount of character, and a tremendous amount of toughness.
So a guy like that, we know about him now, but when he started to make the move, Missouri got onto him. Were many others interested?
No. I mean, he got a bunch of FCS offers coming out the portal, but he wanted to compete at the highest level, and Coach Drink gave him the opportunity to walk on, and he earned a scholarship pretty quickly.
I'm guessing, I think I know the answer. That's how somebody like you plays a role, do you not? Because I know coaches are calling you, they're asking you. How does that work for you? Because, I mean, you're on digital, you're on many platforms, but your phone's ringing nonstop with coaches saying, hey, coach, what do you got?
Well, you know, I'm going to always know what kids are going in the portal and what coaches need what, but you have to be just really careful with how you handle the communication and things like that. But, you know, there's always going to be great players available, and there's going to always be coaches who need great players.
And In terms of the coaches, there's so many really great coaches out there. There are a lot of coaches who are stumbling through. We talked about Billy Napier yesterday. It's easy to look at the record. It's easy to dismiss what he accomplished. But when you know him like you do and others, what do we miss in the media that coaches inside actually understand?
What you're missing on Billy Napier right now is he's coaching in an era where he doesn't have total control of his outcome. He has to depend on his collective's ability to come up with the funds to pay some of these players. He has to deal with NIL. He's not just getting to show that he's a great football coach.
Okay.
He's a very good football coach. He's a very good developer of talent. But in this era, that is not the biggest factors when you're running a program anymore. And so this type of recruiting and the way that roster management and roster building is done now is going to affect a guy like Billy Napier when he doesn't have the support that he needs behind him from an NIL and collective standpoint.
So the answer is a lot of people, but when you look around, I mean, some of them are pretty evident. Who is mastering this era right now? Which coaches?
You have to look at Dan Lanning at the University of Oregon and the way that they've been able to recruit. Look at what Texas A&M has been able to do in their recruiting classes and the guys that they have been able to recruit. I think that the University of Michigan has found a great niche in the way they recruit. Has Ohio State, look at the way they doubled down this year and some of the guys they've been able to sign. Those are programs that have made massive adjustments in the way that they've handled NIL and the marketing flavor that Deion Sanders brings in Colorado and some of the kids that he's been able to attract. So when you look at some of these programs, you have to look at a joint partnership now between the head coach and between who's running the collective, because that really matters. And the general manager position, when you think about Kalen DeBoer bringing a guy like Courtney Morgan, who built the roster at both Michigan and Washington that played in the national championship, the general manager position has become even more important than the offense and the defensive coordinator.
Listen, I know what that word means, but I don't know what it means in college. So you mentioned DeBoer's move. What does that guy do?
The general manager is the first line of defense for recruiting. The evaluation process that goes in and how those evaluations are done behind the recruiting department. That's the person who has to deal with the collective and see who's getting what and who deserves what. That's the guy, the first line of defense. When guys come in and they're telling you they want to go into the transfer portal and the guys that you need to bring in the transfer portal, that guy's role has become very similar to now to the general manager's role in the National Football League.
So, I mean, this is such a revolutionary change. Are some coaches still being, I mean, you can't resist this, but you know the coach, I mean, are there coaches slow to change? And I bring that up because Dabo Swinney has been criticized. I don't know if it's justified or not, but he was slow to reboot.
You cannot adjust to it. They just would be sitting up here with me and you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way that this, the way that's
you don't
the way
want to do that.
That's the way that this business is. You know, so I think that no matter who the coach is, they have to say the transfer portal is here. NIL and collectives are here. And if you want to win, and if you want to keep those big-time, multi-million-dollar jobs, you better get used to the way that the business is right now.
So at the best, at the top schools, what kind of money are we talking about in these collectives? I mean, what does a general manager, as he, I mean, how high are these numbers going?
Well, I think that you need to have a budget of somewhere between $10 and $15 million if you want to compete for a national championship. That's the kind of money that those players are bringing. And if you only have a budget of $2 million or $3 million, then you're going to be playing in a mid-tier bowl game. Maybe. You may not get to that.
And are there, I realize things are changing as we speak, but are there some schools that really just didn't get it?
There's some schools with national championship expectations, but financially have not made the commitment with their NIL collectives to compete at that level.
You mentioned a couple of schools. I've talked to a number of people here from Ole Miss. Is that one of those schools that seems to be on the cutting edge? Because, I mean, they got some major
Ole Miss,
players.
All their chips in the middle of the table. Have you seen the way Coach Kiffin has been recruiting the guys that they've gotten, not only from the portal and the high school? That's a team I'm really excited to see play this year.
So
Lane Kiffin has mastered offense, and they've got the defensive pieces to go
so
with.
So knowing their roster, as you do, nobody knows rosters better than Coach. Is Ole Miss capable? What are they capable of doing?
Ole Miss is capable of winning the SEC this year. They have that type of talent on their football team. They're capable. They're capable of being in that championship matchup with a Georgia.
Now, Georgia, I mean, I know Coach Saban did it, but what is Kirby Smart doing that?
Kirby Smart already had a strong foundation built
Okay. That
can't be broken. He has an advantage over everybody right now because he's been a winner everywhere he's been. And when this change started to happen, they already have a sound foundation built.
That helps.
He coaches at the University of Georgia. The state of Georgia has some of the best high school football players in the country. And you got little boys that grow up wanting to be Georgia Bulldogs. His situation is an outlier.
So within the SEC, I'm not going to ask you to isolate, you know, the negative, because I'm more interested in who. Give me a couple other names of coaches you're watching very closely.
I think this is a big year for Eli Drinkwitz in the University of Missouri. Made a huge step last year, has got some great recruits in, lost some key pieces in Cody Schrader, Ennis Rakestraw, and Chris Abrams.
He could make a run.
But he can make a big run, a very talented team led by Luther Burden this year.
As we run out of time here, what about Tennessee?
Tennessee right now, I still think they're going to be in the middle of the pack.
Wow.
I think they're going to be a middle of the pack team. We don't know yet what they're going to do defensively, and we got to see if Nico can step up at quarterback and play big time football. We don't know yet.
I mean, he's got the hype, but what's your this year concern for Nico?
Experience. He hasn't went into these environments
Okay. And
shown yet that he can win. He might change our mind early in the season.
And the other quarterback I want to ask you about, we talked about Florida. Everybody, you know, Graham Mertz may be the starter, but Lagway, I've heard great, and then I've heard some concern.
Lagway's a phenomenal talent. I was in Houston last week and got an opportunity to talk to his quarterback trainer. High-level competitor, has played at the highest level of high school football, and they're going to need him to be really, really good.
He's got to play.
Or it's going to get scary in Gainesville really early.
The coach, thank you so much. What an amazing conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, welcome back. Let's grab some calls here. And how about Willis in Los Angeles? Hey, Willis.
Paul, great show. I'm going to tell you why I'm your fan. The best interview I think you ever did was with Ernie Grunfeld some time ago. I don't remember it. But
I do remember that. Yeah, that was great.
It was moving. And being a Bruin through and through, Walton was a close second.
You know, Ernie was really special because I knew him and was friends with Ernie and covered him in college. The Walton interview might be the most unpredictable one I've ever had. I had interviewed him many, many years ago, but I remember doing it. It was during COVID, and the interview just like it went on, and it may have gone 30 minutes, and we never broke. And he was genuinely hilarious. Now you expect it, but. He's so irreverent, but I'm glad you mentioned that because I had forgotten that one.
Well, those are
Thank you for saying that.
I grew up in a basketball environment, and those two guys here, especially Ernie, are very meaningful to me.
Thank you, listen, Willis. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm going to give some thought to those interviews. Somebody asked me about that the other day. Anyway, we're halfway through the show. We'll take a short break. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.